Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats. This is a podcast for women over 40 who are looking for sane and frank advice about their health and wellness, especially through menopause. I'm Amanda Thebe, the original resilient bitch and menopause guru. In my work as a personal trainer and nutrition coach, and through my own personal experience, it became obvious to me information about menopause and this curious phase of our life was so ridiculously hard to find. And that's why I started this podcast. Join me every week as I speak to health and wellness experts on hot topics that directly impact you. I've made it my mission to help you by exploding a few myths, presenting you with the facts, and hoping to inspire you to be a healthy, strong person just like me. If you like this show, please subscribe and leave a review. Then go and tell your friends, and then go and tell your husband, and then tell the neighbor, and then don't forget to visit me at fitandchips.com. And now let's get started on today's show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of Fit and Chips Chats. Amanda Thiep here, and I'm speaking this week to Nagina Abdullah from MasalaBody.com. And I am really excited that she's on the show because she's going to talk about spices. I am a curry fanatic. British people always are. But she's not just going to talk about spices tasting good. She's going to talk about the health benefits of spices. And we hear about this all the time in sort of like mainstream media, but she's going to sort of tell us exactly what we should be including in our diet and the benefits of them. So let me just tell you a little bit about Nagina. She is a health coach, specifically helping busy women, mums, and she is the founder of the website MasalaBody.com. And she helps women, especially those with a busy life, demanding career, how to get healthier without feeling deprived, because there's nothing worse than wanting to be healthier and then starving yourself. You know, I'm like totally against that. Anyway, she's coached hundreds of women to lose weight, and she's been featured on a whole ton of great websites and featured in Business Insider, health.com, Huffington Post, and even on Fox News. So Nagina, thank you for coming on the show. Welcome.
Thanks, Amanda. Thank you so much for that introduction. I'm very excited to talk with you.
Great to have you here. It's great to have you here. So what got you into being a health coach? What started Masala Body for you?
Well, I had struggled my entire life with my weight and with eating. I really had uncontrollable, seemingly uncontrollable sugar cravings. I loved fried food. I loved chocolate. I basically loved every single thing that was opposite than me losing weight and getting the body that I dreamed of. But even with those loves, I still tried to follow every single diet out there because I always just felt like I didn't have the body that I really craved. So I followed paleo, I followed Atkins, I followed South Beach. I just tried to eat less and exercise more. And I would lose around 5 pounds, sometimes 10. But then the moment I would stop eating like that, it would come right back on. And so I was constantly in this yo-yo diet struggle for my entire life. And what happened is that I started working in a very demanding job in New York City. And then shortly after, I had 2 kids pretty close together. And so after my 2 kids, I had an extra 20 pounds that wasn't budging. And at this point, none of my clothes were fitting me at all. I would go to my closet. I would still be wearing maternity clothes many months after I had my kids. And I just didn't enjoy the way that I felt. And I didn't feel confident in how I looked. And so at that moment, I realized I needed to do something differently because all of the ways that I tried to lose weight in the past had never led me to sustainable weight loss. I just kept putting the weight back on. And so I started researching so much information, reading medical journals, nutritional journals, reading the trends and fads that are out there. And what I realized is that I had been doing things that the weight loss industry had been teaching me to do that were completely wrong. And so I started eating, doing something drastically different, which when I tell you, it's almost like a no-brainer, but I'd never heard about this before. I started eating natural foods that were not processed. I started lowering my sugar, eating healthier carbs and more filling foods. And then I also started adding spices to my food because it tasted better. And after making these changes, I lost 40 pounds in 9 months. And that was that changed my life. It completely transformed it. And not only did I lose the 20 pounds to get back to pre-pregnancy weight, but I lost 20 more. And so after two kids, I had the body I'd been working for my whole life, but it was like at the time where people most least expected it. And so a lot of times, everywhere I would go, people would ask me, what have you done? How did you lose this weight? What did you do? And I said, well, it's just from changing some of the recipes I was eating and changing what I was doing in the kitchen. And so many people asked me that I started a blog, masalabody.com, where I started sharing my recipes and also my mindsets and habits that helped me actually transform not only what I was eating, but also transform the way I looked at food and also my approach to my sugar cravings, just to help them completely go away.
So did you come from a culture where food was quite rich and quite heavy and quite sweet as well? I mean, I'm only talking about this because I have a lot of, I don't know what we always call them, East Indian in the UK, but like Pakistani, Indian, Bangladeshi friends. And there was always like a whole lot of butter and cream and all of the food that they would eat. And it, because it tasted good, like they were the type of foods I was drawn to because they were so, so delicious. And then the desserts were super sweet as well. Is that the type of challenges you were facing before you lost the weight?
Yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh, that's so amazing, Amanda. You really know the whole region. So yes, I definitely would eat like even our healthy foods. I mean, a lot of times it was very rich, exactly, with oil and with butter. And also from my heritage is also where I learned about spices, because we would use spices in our cooking. It was just so common. We couldn't eat anything without having like cayenne pepper or turmeric powder in it. It was just the way we ate everything. And so I knew about that, but so when I started trying to eat healthier, I started like just realizing, oh my gosh, let me just use the flavors that I grew up with, but let me trim down the oil and the fats and the creams. Let me trim that part down, but let me do more of the spices because those are healthier.
And they also taste so good. They're just such wonderful flavors and they fill the house. I think that, like, you know, when you walk into a house and you can smell something like that cooking, it's like the whole family gets excited. They do in my household anyway. But I know that like for me being British, whenever you wanted to have food like that, you tended to go to like a restaurant and you knew you were just like, it was just a dead meal. You couldn't consider it to be healthy at all because of the way it was cooked. So you started introducing, you started just cooking with all of the spices, but like removing all of the stuff that was clearly not helping you lose weight. But you said about lowering the sugar. You're on about like processed added sugar.
Yes. Yeah, so definitely processed added sugar. But then I learned that a lot of the foods that are just part of our everyday diet, they're what we call fast burning carbs. So like they break down to sugar very quickly. So carbohydrates are sugars, and you could eat carbohydrates that break down really quickly, and that causes a sugar rush, or it causes your insulin to be released, which in the end stores more fat. So I really like learned about the types of carbohydrates I was eating, and I didn't take them out, but I started eating smarter carbohydrates. So these are carbs that are more complex. They have fiber in them as well, so they don't break down as quickly and cause that sugar rush to happen, which is not good for weight loss. And so I started eating more carbs. So instead of eating things like breads for my carbs, for example, which I still eat bread, but I just don't eat it as much as I used to. I started adding more beans, more lentils, this bread, which is a sprouted grain bread called Ezekiel bread, and then quinoa. So like, these are all carbs that they still taste good and they're still very satisfying, but they give you an even energy over time instead of going up and down in the way that you feel.
And it's really good. I'm really glad you've talked about that, because I'm sort of on a mission to stop people demonizing carbohydrates, because it's literally because people don't truly understand that there's sources of carbohydrates out there. And those simple sugars, those fast burning carbohydrates, the ones that go through a process called amylase in the mouth, so the digestion of them actually starts in the mouth, they're the ones that get into the system super, super quickly. Like you say, that they have that insulin release, and they yes. have And then the smarter carbohydrates are going to be your the complex ones. So the, like you said, the grains and the oats and all of those things actually get processed in the small intestine. And that's the difference I think that people need to understand, is they enter the bloodstream so much slower because they've already gone through the whole process of your body, and they don't go into your system until they reach the small intestine.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, yeah. And so there's exactly, so it's like you can kind of, once you start knowing what's happening with the foods that we're giving ourselves, then you can start kind of hacking it and knowing, okay, I can eat. What I found most surprising when I lost weight is that I started eating more food instead of less food, because I started eating more of these carbs that didn't burn as fast, kind of slow burning carbs. I started eating much more vegetables because I started cooking them in a way that I actually enjoyed them. So that's where the spices came in a lot. I started spicing up my vegetables. And like, for example, I would make cumin cauliflower, or I would make a cabbage with cumin, with coriander and turmeric. And it would taste so delicious that I couldn't believe I was eating vegetables, because I never used to crave vegetables anymore. So I started to crave vegetables. I started eating slower burning carbs, and then I started adding a lot of protein to my diet, because with protein, what actually happens is when you're eating protein, it digests as you're eating it. And so, or you're burning calories as you're digesting it. That's what I mean. And so as you're digesting protein, you're actually burning more calories, and it also doesn't take as long to burn off. So you feel full for longer. So all of these are kind of tricks about the nutrition of the food that we're eating. And that's what helped me feel full, feel satisfied, and also enjoy what I was eating, because I was adding those spices for flavors. All those combined helped me lose the weight in a way that was really enjoyable. And then it was sustainable, because I loved how I felt while I was eating this food.
It's interesting as well, you saying as well as enjoyable, because clearly you know what you're doing when it comes to food, and we're going to talk about that. But the sustainability is what I'm quite keen to talk about, because, you know, it boils my piss when I hear people talking about these 21-day fixes. I literally can't have the conversation with these people, because anyone that thinks that they're going to make massive changes in their life in 21 days, they're just doing the wrong thing. It's that simple. Yeah, so I love the fact that you talk about sustainability, because like when I hear about these 21-day fixes, it drives me crazy, because we know that they're not sustainable. And what do you do on day 22? Usually. And yes, that's the question I always want to ask. And the fact that it took you 9 months to lose 40 pounds. So gosh, if I just pick a number, that's probably about 10, 11 weeks. So you're talking about a pound a week if we were to average it out. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that, because when I hear people saying you can lose like 3 to 5 pounds a week with me, or 10 pounds a week, I'm like, no, you can't. You cannot lose fat loss in that time. You can have weight loss initially if you're bloated and you carry a lot of water, but that's not sustainable fat loss. And if it's a pound a week that you lost over that 9 month period, then yeah, you're doing something right. Clearly, right?
Yes. Yes, yes. And that's so true. I mean, so what often happens to many women and to many people is that you lose quite a bit of weight in the first 2 weeks. Like, you could even lose potentially like 7 pounds in a week or over 2 weeks. It's very common. I mean, it's common. It can happen. But the reason it's not fat loss, it's that you have a lot of times it's water retention. Like, you had a lot of water retention because of the foods that you were eating. They could have been high sodium. And so your food was sticking to your body, and water was sticking to your body. And now after eating natural foods, it gets washed away. And so there can be that spike in weight loss in the beginning, which is still, it's still good, because you're cleaning your body out, but it's definitely not fat loss. But then as you keep going, you get to a more kind of sustained way of, like, a sustained rate. And so, like, for me, I lost in the first month, I lost 10 pounds, and then it slowed down after that. So then I lost 20 pounds in 3 months. So it slowed down right there. And then I lost 40 pounds in 9 months. So a lot of times it'll be faster in the beginning, but losing a pound to 2 pounds a week is very healthy. And it's actually what we should strive for, because that's real fat loss. And if you're, I know a lot of people, they feel, they don't feel good if they're losing a pound a week. They feel like it's going to take me forever, but that means it's really coming off, and you're also creating the habits in your life to keep that weight off. You're not just doing some fad thing that's temporary.
Yeah, and your chances are you're not depriving yourself of anything. And the whole point of like changing your lifestyle habits is that you don't feel deprivation at any stage during it, right? That you actually feel satisfied and nourished and energized, and you don't feel tired and cranky and miserable. And any diet that makes you feel like that, just stop doing it. It's not working.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you're not going to be able to do it afterwards. Just like you said, on day 22 or the day that you're done, it's always good to think about how to keep a sustainable way of eating, or how to learn how to eat in a sustainable way so that you lose the weight. And as you're losing the weight, you're gaining the skills to keep losing the weight and to keep your weight off.
So can we talk about some of the spices that you use? Well, you can name a few of the top spices you have in your drawer, in your kitchen, and you know what type of things that they can use them in, but like what are the benefits of them as well? Because I think that that's something that you can really educate us on, you know, like the turmerics and the curcumin and stuff. So I'd love to hear about some of those.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I have three spices I would love to share with you and with your audience. The first one is one of my favorites, and this is what I call the sweet spice. And this, a lot of times people think that spices are spicy, but it's actually a myth, because spices are more often neutral. There's a couple that are spicy, but most of them actually just add flavor. They don't add heat. But this one I'm going to start with actually is sweet, and that's why it's my favorite and a lot of others' favorites as well. And this spice is cinnamon. So cinnamon is something that very much most likely is in our kitchen cabinets. It's such a common spice that we use for baking usually. But it helps to lower blood sugar, and it also helps to curb sugar craving. So those are the benefits of them. Now, what happens with cinnamon is that when you use it, it has a sweet taste to it. So you don't really feel the need for as much sugar. And so that's how you're getting that sweetness, but without sugar. So whenever you add sugar to something, you're spiking your insulin. And that's like a major factor in weight gain is sugar. So, but if you still are craving that sweet taste, using cinnamon instead really helps you get that flavor without that fat gain. But in addition, you are also lowering your blood sugar. So it keeps your blood sugar low. This is really important for those, especially that are pre-diabetic or diabetic, but it's actually important for anyone that's interested in losing weight, because keeping your blood sugar at a lower place or at like a level place is very, very key for losing weight. And the way that I can describe that in an everyday scenario is whenever, if you were to have something sugary, like if you were to have a donut, for example, you would feel your sugar rise. Like you would feel that sugar rush, which feels so good. That's a lot of times the reason that many of us go to sweet foods is because we like that sugar rush. But then 30 minutes later, we get a sugar crash. And that usually makes us feel hungry again, tired, and we will feel like we didn't even eat anything and go and eat more. So then you're adding on more calories because of the sugar crash that you just had. So when you're having cinnamon in your diet, you're keeping your blood sugar very stable. You're not going through the ups and downs, which also is like high energy and low energy. You're feeling just even energy throughout the day. And that's why it's really, really very powerful.
And how much cinnamon would you need to have for those like to feel a bit impactful?
So cinnamon is pretty powerful. You really only need a pinch of it. In terms of measuring it, if you wanted to measure it, you could do a fourth teaspoon, but actually even a little bit less than that, because once you start using more cinnamon, it starts to become a little bit spicy. So a fourth teaspoon or less is really good to use. And the way that I recommend starting to use cinnamon is to use it in your coffee or your tea in the morning. And so you could use it, you just sprinkle a pinch in, and it tastes so luxurious. It smells so delicious. And you're just starting your day, like keeping your blood sugar lower and just evening your energy levels out. So that's one really easy way to use cinnamon, is to sprinkle it in your coffee or tea. But you can also sprinkle it in your smoothies. And I also love sharing this afternoon snack.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, would that be good? Okay. So this afternoon snack is called Grandma's Healthy Apple Pie. And I call it that because this snack, it has all the good parts of an apple pie without the weight gain parts of an apple pie. So
without the pie bit then?
Yeah, without the crust and without the sugar in the apples. Yes. But you feel really satisfied. So it's half a cup of 1% cottage cheese. And then you take a quarter of an apple and you chop it up like really small, mix it together, and then you add a fourth teaspoon of cinnamon. And when you combine this snack, it's so satisfying. It's high protein because of the cottage cheese. And then also it's sweet because of the apples and the cinnamon, but it's not really spiking your insulin because there's not that much sugar in it, just a little bit from the apple. But the cinnamon is helping to counteract that. And it's a healthy snack because it has apples in it. So this is really a very satisfying snack to have either around 2 p.m. in the afternoon when a lot of us get those afternoon cravings.
Yeah, the dip.
Yeah, it's exactly that dip. Or sometimes late at night, if you're feeling like you want ice cream or something creamy, this is a great healthy substitute for that. So those are a few ways to use cinnamon.
Could you substitute the cottage cheese for like a zero fat Greek yogurt if you really were grossed out by it?
Yes, definitely.
Cottage cheese, I'm talking from cottage cheese. I wanna, it's one of those foods I wanna like, but I don't. So, yes. So anyway, okay, that's great. Okay, that's a good one to try.
Yes, you could definitely do that. What the cottage cheese is doing is it's giving you high protein, and it's both Greek yogurt and cottage cheese are really healthy forms of dairy because of the way they're pasteurized. So they don't have a lot of sugar in them. And so that's why either of those are really good.
Hi guys, Amanda here. I'm just jumping in to ask you a quick favor. If you are enjoying my podcast, then I'd love you to leave me a review on either iTunes or Google Play. It helps me get in front of new listeners so I can keep making great content for you. And in return, I'd like to send you my Abs on Fire 12-week core-focused workout plan. All you need to do after you've done your review is simply email me at amanda@fitandchips.com and I'll send you the program straight away. Thanks, guys, for all your support. And now back to the show. Okay. And so your next spice, that's the cinnamon, the sweet spice.
Yes. So the next spice, I'm so excited about this because this is one of the kind of the popular spices out in the world right now. And it's referred to as the golden goddess spice because it has a golden hue and aromatic flavor. And this is turmeric. So turmeric has been around for centuries. It's just becoming really popular right now, but it's been around for centuries for its anti-inflammatory benefits. And it's really, really just a wonderful spice to have as part of your day. The flavor is very mild. It has a slightly earthy flavor, but it's overall, I mean, it has a slight taste to it, but it's not an overpowering taste, though the color is very somewhat intimidating because it's really bright. It's really a bright yellow. But it's really great to use turmeric to its advantages because it can add color to some of your foods. So it can make your like lighter colored foods just come out in colors. Now, a couple of quick things I want to mention just is that turmeric is also a proven phytoestrogen. So this is a plant metabolite that mimics or modulates the activity of body estrogen. So estrogen deficiency through menopause is very common, and it can lead to risk for so many different things like mood swings, reduced bone density, joint pain, etc. And so turmeric is really great for for women that are in perimenopause or menopause because it really helps to kind of like mimic estrogen. And so it helps to balance estrogen levels. And then turmeric's anti-inflammatory activity, it's so amazing that it's comparable to that of painkillers. So it can help to even treat migraines, joint pain. It's often used for arthritis or for other joint pains. The other thing that turmeric helps for is just general anti-inflammation. A lot of times, because of the foods we're eating or our environment, our faces may be puffier and our bellies may be more bloated. bloated. But when you're reducing the inflammation in your entire body, then that's helping that to go away. So that's why it's really great for weight loss and why anti-inflammation is really key. But there's so many health benefits to having anti-inflammatory foods in your diet. And so turmeric is a really easy way to do that.
And I understand that there's been quite a lot of high level studies on turmeric itself. So I'm interested to know, so I hope they continue to do that so we get more information. I think it's great. And especially because people really want to do things in their diet that's natural and to support whatever else they're doing in their life. You know, it's an easy thing you can do. Most of these things are super inexpensive as well. Mm-hmm. So the turmeric, how it doesn't taste strong, does it? Like when I make my curries, usually I put turmeric in. It's not a particularly strong tasting flavor, is it?
No, it's not. It's very mild, and I can share some ways to use it, because I think that's a big question that I hear is, how do we use turmeric? We want to use it, but what do we do? So now turmeric, the way that I love to use it is I like to use it in my morning eggs, because it's yellow anyway, and eggs are yellow. And so when you add about a half teaspoon to your eggs, you don't even realize it's there. Like, it just blends in with your eggs. You don't even realize it's there, but then you're getting those anti-inflammatory benefits right away. So it's really easy. And like, I actually have a turmeric, like I have a spice shaker, and I just shake in some turmeric in the morning in my eggs. And so I get that right away, those benefits. The key with turmeric is that you want to combine it with black pepper, because black pepper brings out the absorption of turmeric by 2,000 to 5,000%. So it's really important to just sprinkle in some black pepper as well whenever you're using turmeric, and to remember to do that. One other way that's really great, actually two other quick ways of using turmeric. One is, if you are working out and you have a protein shake after your workout, adding a half teaspoon of turmeric into your protein shake is amazing, because it's anti-inflammatory. So if you're feeling, it's helping you recover. It helps your muscles recover from your workout. It helps them to relax, and your body starts to feel more relaxed right after your workout. So you're getting that protein, and then you're also getting the anti-inflammatory benefits from turmeric, which is really helpful and easy. And then
does it taste strange? Like in a protein smoothie?
See, that's the thing. It really does not taste like much at all. Like, there's a slight earthy taste, but it really almost doesn't taste like that much at all. It will make your shake, especially if you're using like a vanilla protein powder, it will make it yellow. So you're going to see it change, but the taste is not really that. You okay. don't really experience that much of a taste, and it's definitely not spicy at all. So okay. Yes. So, and one more quick way to use turmeric is in a turmeric tea. So you can have this at night. It's not like a tea bag. You basically are combining turmeric, water, and ginger, and it's helping your body relax before you go to sleep. So it almost, like, for those that like to have wine at night, it actually makes your body feel more relaxed than wine, with like hardly any calories at all. And it's so much more just great for your body. And then you have a really good sleep. So turmeric tea is another option. I do have a recipe on my website, if you just were to look up turmeric tea. And that's one of the recipes that I love to have at night, because it makes you feel so good. It helps your body completely relax.
Yeah, sounds lovely. I love anything with ginger in it. As soon as you said ginger, I was like, yeah, that sounds good.
Oh, yes.
Maybe a little bit of lemon as well would be nice in that.
Oh, yes.
Okay, awesome. That's great. These are all great suggestions. Okay, and then number three.
Okay, so the third spice, first I shared a sweet spice, then turmeric is a neutral spice. Now I am going to share a spicy spice for those people that do like spicy spices, and this spice is cayenne pepper. So cayenne pepper, it does taste spicy, but I'm going to teach you a few ways you can get the spice, or you can get the benefits of cayenne pepper if you don't like spicy, a spicy taste. So cayenne pepper has a compound called capsaicin in it, and capsaicin is what gives it its benefits. So the benefits of cayenne pepper are it actually increases your metabolism. You can often feel this if you use cayenne pepper. You can feel if you feel yourself sweating a little bit, that's because your metabolism is increasing. For those people that eat spicy food regularly, you just have to use a little bit more. And then it also helps you curb your appetite, so you don't feel as hungry when you're eating this spice. And so that's because it actually binds with receptors in your brain that make you feel more satiated. And so a lot of times we look to sweet food to make ourselves feel satiated, or we're not quite done until we have something sweet. And that's because our brain needs this binding to get that feeling. But you can actually achieve that feeling of satisfaction and of being done with cayenne pepper or with capsaicin. And so it's really, really great for losing weight because you are increasing your metabolism and then you're also decreasing your appetite. And you can even tell this, you can experiment with this by just using a little cayenne pepper on something and you'll be able to see how that feels. And so in terms of the ranges, there's many, many spices that have the capsaicin element to it.
And that's so, right. Yes, I'm aware of that. And it's most of the peppers, right? I think that you can get out.
Yes, that exactly. In. Like jalapeno peppers, habanero peppers, those are all different ranges as well. So you could kind of go for the less spicy pepper. Like jalapeno peppers are not as spicy as, for example, serrano peppers or habanero peppers. And in the same way, if you want to use a powdered spice, cayenne pepper is the most spicy, but then you could use red chili flakes, which we use on pizza often. That has less capsaicin in it, but you're still getting those benefits. And then even less spicy is paprika, which still has capsaicin, but it is a little bit even sweet. And so that's a really great way to get your foot in the door of eating spicy foods is to use paprika and then maybe moving up to red chili flakes. And then if you want to go to cayenne pepper, you can, but you're still going to get the benefits with those other foods. So
yeah. That's great. Yes. And so that I'm assuming that you're talking about the hunger hormone ghrelin that it must reduce. Is that right? The one that sort of tells us that we're hungry.
Yeah, so that it helps to regulate that and then to make you feel like you're done.
Cool. That's very cool. And so what about if you want to introduce it, because this is the one that you have to be careful when you cook with it. I like spicy food, but I know this could be pretty potent, right? So how do you use this? How do you suggest that people use this without like burning off their mouth and then putting themselves off forever?
Yes, very important question. Some ways to use it is, so if you haven't done it before, you haven't eaten too much spicy food, it's definitely spicy food you can become accustomed to. It's like as you eat more, you become more tolerant of more spice. Right. But I do recommend starting with paprika or red chili flakes. And the way that I love to use it is in those eggs that I was telling you about earlier with turmeric and black pepper, if you sprinkle a little bit of turmeric or a little bit of cayenne pepper in it or red chili flakes, you're getting those metabolism boosting effects right away, right in the morning. And then you're also curbing your appetite, so you feel more satisfied. So putting a little bit in your eggs, and when I say a little bit, I really mean much less than a fourth teaspoon. Because if you're having two eggs and maybe even some egg whites, just a sprinkle of it is really what you need, so that you don't burn your tongue off. And then also another way that I love to use cayenne is to use it on my vegetables. So I will get a whole tray of vegetables and I'll set the oven to 400 degrees. And then I'll put vegetables like anything that I have, really, asparagus, broccoli, Brussels sprouts. Those are really good vegetables to keep you full for longer. And you sprinkle a little bit of cayenne pepper or red chili flakes or paprika on it, salt, pepper, and maybe you could add a couple other spices you have in your pantry, like cumin or like turmeric. And then your vegetables start to have more of a flavor, and you could roast it for 15 minutes, which brings the sweetness out of vegetables. And so by roasting it and by adding these spices, you're flavoring your food, you're bringing out the sweetness, and that's how you start to really love vegetables more, and you start to actually feel like you need them at every meal because they start to make you feel so good and give you so much energy that you start moving towards vegetables more. But the way to get started is really cooking them correctly and then using flavors and spices.
And I know a lot of people will like, it's crazy. I don't understand this completely, but there's people out there that still don't eat vegetables, that they've never eaten them. They're, you know, like, and they've just, they're reteaching themselves. I don't know if it's bad habits or like family, you know, situations, you know, maybe they were brought up that way, but I think anyone can learn to love vegetables again. And I love the idea of like the ideas you're giving us, you know, like, right, roast. I always tell people to roast the vegetables because it really just bring out the sweetness in the vegetables and makes them more palatable. And but then by adding these extra spices and not only just the health benefits, but just that increased flavor and the with the contrast with the sweetness of the vegetables, it sounds delicious.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And yes, it is. It's a challenge to enjoy vegetables. And some of it, a lot of it is because the way it's been prepared, that it's either just raw or like steamed in the microwave. But it's so possible, yes, to start to love vegetables. And the benefits are amazing, just for overall health and definitely for loss, because vegetables keep you more full for longer with less calories. And there's just tons of nutrition in vegetables.
Yeah, totally. Fill up on the vegetables every time. So I mean, that's what the best way to do it for sure. And so what about if somebody is doing like a fat loss and they want to, and we're saying fill up on vegetables, do you use these spices to prepare your proteins as well? Is it something that you can incorporate like into that as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Oh my gosh. Because for fat loss, you definitely want to increase protein. So, for example, I have a marinade. So I have a marinade that I use either on chicken or on fish, and it uses the spices cumin and coriander. And then I also use garlic and ginger, and I put all of it into a food processor. I add a little bit of vinegar because vinegar is an acid that brings out the flavor without any extra calories as well. So I blend that all together, and then I combine it with the chicken or the fish, or sometimes I make double the marinade and do both. So I have two meals. And then I can either bake it or put it on the stove and cook it in a skillet. And so, that's an example. You can use different spices you can use with different types of protein. But for example, turmeric is great to use with lighter colored. It's actually great to use with anything, but when you use it with lighter colored proteins, like say a white fish or chicken, that's where you get to see the color come out. So it looks like it's like you're not just eating regular chicken. You're actually, it changes it up, and it's nice to see that different color.
Exactly. It changes it up. And that's the thing. I think people get themselves on health kicks and they get so bored of the steamed chicken and you know it's so boring. And I mean the idea of adding these spices and seasonings to the food just to give it that variety, that all of the heavy sauces that you normally associate with some of these spices is great. I love it. I think it's great. Do you have any of these recipes on your website?
Yes, I have a lot of these recipes. So the turmeric tea recipe is on my website. It's right on the sidebar where it says my favorite articles. It's one of the articles that people really love. But I also have another article that I think is really good. Another recipe that is really amazing. I actually make this for my family and myself all the time. And it's called Crockpot Chicken Tikka Masala. And that is where you just put all of these spices as well as chicken in the crock pot, and it only takes 3 hours to cook it if you cook it on high. And it is like a family favorite and also a party favorite. And it's so healthy also. And so you're getting turmeric, like you're getting the spices, turmeric, a little cayenne pepper if you want it, black pepper. And there's a little cayenne pepper in there, you know, as well. So,
and you know, if you've got an Instant Pot, it'll probably take you like 20 minutes to do, which is even great. Cause like,
yes. So
I got one for Christmas, but I love most busy moms. I mean, the idea of like cooking like a curry is like, it seems overwhelming, but the idea of being able to throw it in a slow cooker for the day and come home and it be done is awesome. And then have that with some complex carbs, have that with some, you know, some whole grains as well. It's awesome.
So absolutely true. Yes. It's like, if you can just put everything, all you have to do is really have a few spices there and you just sprinkle it, put your chicken in, salt, pepper, turn it on and you have a full dinner and your family will love it. They'll be so impressed by you too.
All right, great. Well, I'll make sure that information is in the show notes. Before you go, do you want to tell us about your free gift? Because you have a little something for everybody that they can head over and grab.
Yes, I do. I'm so excited. I was thinking that your listeners would really appreciate this, so I created this special gift. This is a sweet spice cheat sheet with the spice that is most likely in your kitchen cabinet. It helps to lower blood sugar and curb sugar cravings. The cheat sheet includes 3 health benefits of using this spice, 5 ways to use it in your day, and an easy recipe using this spice. And this is available at masalabody.com/fitandchips.
Oh, I get my own URL. I like it. I'll head over to that too. I think it's really fascinating. And I actually love the take that you're giving on weight loss, because it's just, I get so jaded and bored I know what I'm talking about because I'm a nutrition coach, but as I see things and on the web and it drives me crazy and there's always some fad that somebody's trying to push, but you're basically just telling people nutrition basics, and that's what I love, like the basics work. You're telling them that sustainability is key, that good habits are key. I love that too. And then you're adding this great element of the wonderful flavors, and I think that's sometimes forgotten. And I have a whole bunch of friends who are Indian and live in India. So they're still based there. And they say that none of the websites that they ever find, the Western websites, relate to them at all, because it's not the food that they're used to eating either. So, you know, just the fact that, as well as teaching us Westerners a few things about how to add flavor to our food, you're also catering to like people who eat this food all the time but don't understand how to make it in a healthier version as well. So I really like the whole take on it. I think it's great. And I'm probably going to make the chicken tikka masala for tea.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thanks so much, Amanda. It's a different way. And I actually, the way that when I started using more spices with my healthy food, it was just like a revelation, because I had followed so many different ways of eating healthy and of losing weight. And they never satisfied me. And I just felt like I had to eat like them. It was a sacrifice I had to make to lose weight. But once I started incorporating spices, I realized this is like a secret way to get flavor and to get so many extra benefits while also losing weight. And so that's why it works itself into a sustainable method of eating healthy and losing weight.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. Well, I know you've got a mass of people following you, but hopefully people will head over to your website after they've heard about this, because I know that there's tons to offer over there. And I want to say thank you, Nagina, for coming on the podcast today. It was great to have you on. Thank you for your free gift.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. And thanks for all of your amazing questions and conversation. This has been so much fun talking with you.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, and take care, everyone. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on my services, head over to my website at fitandchips.com. That's like fish and chips, fitandchips.com. Or you can head over to my Fit and Chips Facebook page too. If you leave me a comment or if you contact me, I promise I'll do my best to respond to all of your questions. The views and advice expressed by myself in this show are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always go straight to your doctor. Take care. Love you. Bye.